for us to justify it, maybe, because we're not thinking of it the way the Lord does, and we're not thinking of it in the way that is the absolute end of it. And what happens is that all of these other things around it, all of those things are connected to that spirit of disobedience to parents. There's not one thing around there that is not a manifestation of the foolishness in the heart of a child that discipline will remove. And if it's not removed, all those things come. The biblical mandate then is to give proper discipline of children. It's not just spanking, it is discipline, it is training. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Once a child gets it in his youth, he's got it. That's the general rule. So if you wait until later on to teach him that, well, it's too late. Now, there's a lot of things that we adults would have a whole lot harder time learning than a child. A child picks things up just if they put their mind to it. And they can get it. And children, I believe if you teach children foreign languages, and when they're young, if you teach them the right way, they get it. You throw that on me, I'm going to have a harder time with it. Not because I'm not able, but just I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take it in. I've got other things to do. Train up a child the way he should go, and he'll go that way. We had on our house at home in Tryon, growing up, gutters. We don't have gutters on our house now. Some of you probably do. Gutters would not let the water run the way, just down the roof the way it wanted to. You would direct the water to the spout over there, so it would do whatever it does over there. Proverbs 22:15, the rod of discipline will remove foolishness far from a child. How many of you kids, I'll just ask you this, you don't have to answer out loud, you can raise your hand if you want to. When you do something bad, you go to your parents, you say, please get a rod and give me a good whipping. No. Well, that's why the parents really don't mean it when they say, do you want a spanking? Because they know you don't want one. But if they choose to do that, then they are using a rod of discipline to train you. Proverbs 23:13, don't hold back discipline from a child. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Notice that's a rod, there's a physical aspect, and reproof, speaking. Discipline is both correction and instruction. You correct children in discipline, and you instruct how children are to be. And if you don't do that, you get a playground or a chaotic room of kids. There's probably nothing more chaotic than a group of kids, and it doesn't take a whole lot, who have no discipline together in one place, playing together. And discipline in our day has been labeled by secular psychologists as damaging to children. If you discipline children based on secular psychology of our day, you're actually doing them harm. Everything that Proverbs says about how children are helped by discipline, modern secular psychology will say the opposite is true. You use a rod of discipline, you're going to hurt that child. I mean, their soul. School discipline is a joke now, probably. It's vanished. in many places completely. Greatly curtailed if it wasn't. With the lack of discipline, several years ago, teachers were begging that all the kids be drugged with Ritalin so they would behave, because you couldn't do anything to them. We used to get sent to the principal's office. How many of you have been sent to the principal's office before? Got talked to. They even had a panel down there. And many schools, if you were to discipline children, the children would go home, tell mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy would sue the school today. Back in our day, in the 1800s, we'd get another spanking if we got one at school. They would support. It's completely different now. Schools are indoctrinating children more in unbiblical morality and philosophy. And children are kept more than disciplined. They're just given a place to stay rather than being taught. And they're bombarded by all kind of ungodly media. And it makes an impact upon them. And parents have to be on it all the time. Kids are sponges that will suck it all up. And you know, I mentioned before when Seca was her first year at Anderson, and I had to find out about her first Bible class. And first Bible class was already teaching something that wasn't right. It's just like knee-jerk reaction. Well, discipline. But then there's the rejection of discipline. That's what we're really speaking about here in this trait of disobedient to parents. The issue in the list of vices that we see here is rebellion against the will of God. If I list all these vices, lovers of self, lovers of money, all of that, these are rejections of the will of God. It's me saying, I will go my own way, and I will be a child left to myself, and who does my own thing? We're to love God first and others second, yet we love ourselves. See, that's the perversion in our soul. We're to be generous and giving, but we love money and hoard it and greedy. We're to be humble under the majesty of God, and yet we grow proud. Our tongues are to bless God and build up others, but we curse men and tear down others. So people are disobedient to parents. Practice of discipline of children is a lengthy process, as parents know. You start off and it's at the very beginning, and even little kids that can't talk know how to disobey. They know how to do something you don't want them to do. And it is a long process of disciplining children. That's why this is not speaking about a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old. But this is something that is taught to children through their formative years. So that when they get to where they are now considered adults, there's no age that's given to that. But it's late teens, I would say. By then, you're starting to see what the deal is. And a lot of waywardness in children, honestly, can be traced to bad parenting. We got parents today who are leaving it to their 2-year-olds to decide what gender they are going to be. They probably won't let them play out in the yard without supervision. They'll let them choose their gender. That's bad parenting. It's bad parenting if a parent tells a child, listen, I'm just going to let you choose whatever religion you want to follow, whatever God you want to follow. That's bad parenting. The kids are not given to you for you to let them choose their God. They're given to you for you to choose their God for them, if it's the right God. What we see here is a rejection of parental authority at its height. We see someone now who is known, characterized as disobedient to parents. Someone who's come to maturity. A child who's been left to himself, who's gone his own way, has rebelled opposed the authority at home and persisted in it. And you know, I begin to think that this actually is true, what my grandmother told me, that your face would freeze if you kept it that way. If you make an ugly face, your face will freeze. And of course, it never did. But if you are bad in your childhood, then it pretty much freezes that way if you're not corrected and don't obey your parents. Dynamics are pretty simple. Children are not born righteous and smart. We're born really, if you children are sensitive, close your ears for just a moment. Children are born dumb. You have the every once in a while these remarkable kids who can, you know, crawl out of the crib and go out and build a boat in the front yard. But that's not normally going to happen. And morally, as far as etiquette, things to do, things not to do, children are not smart. They will become smart. They will become wise, hopefully. But the parents have the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience, and they are to raise up their children in that. They're in the role of God. They're the rulers of the family in God's will to teach the word of God, to speak the words of God, and to lead them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The environment in a home is to be God, the word of God, Jesus Christ, His will, His word, His morality. Because they're not going to get that anywhere else. And they're going to get the opposite of that a lot of other places. Children are to accept parental authority, accept the guidance of the parents, and by that, grow into maturity in the will of God. It's like a lesson. Somebody gives you a lesson. I used to get golf lessons, but they were uncomfortable because I wasn't doing that naturally. And I would pretty much just abandon it. Training. It means you're doing something wrong. You've got to be trained to do it right. That's what parenting is. And rejection of that allows a natural corruption to run its course. There's some things I've learned because I'm a great cook that need to be refrigerated after they are out. And if you do not refrigerate them, they will grow things on them and will not be able to be eaten anymore. And so they become spoiled. Rejection of discipline allows that spoiling process to take place in children. And then thirdly, obedience to parents is more serious than some think. Okay, you look at disobedience to parents here. Oh, that's not so bad. All these other things really, really bad. But disobedience to parents, oh, that's not as bad. Actually, it is just as bad, or a cause or a source for the others. It's the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Exodus 20, verse 12. It's in the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth commandment. It's the first commandment on the second tablet of the law. Honor your father and your mother. That is your responsibility toward mankind. To honor, to love your father and mother means you obey them, and they, in loving you, train you up in the way you should go. It says in Exodus 20, it will prolong your days in the land. It means that if you obey your parents, honor your parents, your life will be longer. Now, there's two ways that can be. One is by the blessing of God to prolong your days as a reward for your obedience, if He chooses to do that. God blessing obedience. But the other way is to protect you from foolish and harmful self-destruction that you're going to get into if you go your own way. So it's protective from the consequences. I wish I'd been trained about where yellow jackets live. when I was a kid. Because nobody ever told me they live in thrift flowers on a bank. So when I ran up that bank and got that ball that was up on the top of the bank, my training or lack thereof was very noticeable. Yellow jackets, I learned that day, get really mad if you trespass on their property. They got all over me. I didn't know enough to go in there and say, why didn't somebody tell me they were there? Because nobody knew, really. But if I'd been told, do not go up on the bank because there are yellow jackets there, that would have protected me. That's one consequence of obedience. The second thing, also in Exodus 20, but this at verse 5, idolatry infects generations. The Bible says that God is a judge and a person who pays back disobedience to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. So if a person hates the Lord, this again is a double, happens two ways. By disobeying God, you put yourself in a bad spot where you can get a lot of consequences that you would not otherwise get. But because one generation does it, and it is not turned back, then it is more likely that the next generation does it, and the next generation does it, and the next generation does it. So that the Lord says, although he shows loving kindness to thousands, that he is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate him. It's not that the children are being paid back for the sins of the father or the parents. It's that the children do the same things because that's what they see and learn at home. There is collateral damage. You could call that some of that collateral damage when someone does something that adversely affects another person who's innocent. But these sins of the father are repeated by the children, and so that sin goes into multiple generations. And some families become known as that kind of family, that kind of behavior. This is so serious that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 18, it says this: if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Before I read further, let me just say, this is not the law we're under today. This is a theocracy in Israel, and the way it was dealt with in that time. It's not the same today, but it does show the seriousness of this. Verse 20, they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall set him in the happy seat. Doesn't actually say that. All the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. I'll say one thing. If you're a disobedient child, these days you picked a better time to do it than back then. But the result is widespread and fundamentally a foundational thing. This is an adult child, again, who has become a glutton and a drunkard. His parents have chastised him, but he's refused to listen. He's out of control. He's completely undisciplined, and he's worthless. And all the men of the city stone him to death and get the root of evil out of Israel so that it does not spread. Disobedience to parents is a root sin. It's bad when it occurs. It grows and corrupts. It infects others, and it ends up totally a person totally opposed to the authority of God. You would know this if you had a couple of pet termites at your house. Get a couple of pet termites at your house. That's bad, really. They start eating wood, and you know when they start eating wood, it just kind of gets into their blood. And it gets all through the house. And one day you wake up and in your bedroom and you are able to see the sky because the house has fallen in. And then the termites are finishing their meals. If a child is obedient, they begin to grow in righteousness and honor, usefulness to God, pleasing God. But if not, we know from experience that although when they're younger, they can't do as much damage because they're young. When they get older, if they're not obedient to parents, they're wild. So it is a difficult time when in the last days, children are full of rebellion and it reaches its peak in disobedient children. I always saw in Westerns, they were always transporting in Westerns nitroglycerin in the back of a wagon. I don't know why they were doing that. But there's a number of times I remember they had to transfer nitroglycerin, not these tablets you put in your mouth and help your heart, but the explosive stuff. They'd be like this, and they'd be on a wagon with these wooden wheels. And be careful, don't put it in the sun too long. They said it'll blow up. So it was very. I said nitroglycerin. Oh, that's dangerous. You can imagine what I felt when I first heard of people putting it in their mouth for their heart. Children are nitroglycerin. And they must be cared for and raised and trained. They are very potent foundation for good in this world. But if they are rotten when they get of age, they are a great corruption to our society. You have both kinds. By the grace of God, a child who is rotten can become good. We see that. But what is really dangerous is most children who are raised without the nurture and admonition of the Lord will turn out to be someone who will bring difficult times to a whole of society. That's why we preach the gospel, because only the gospel can make that change. When a child becomes something he was not even in his childhood by salvation. So, brace yourselves. The more children we have who are disobedient to parents, the harder things are going to be. Let's pray. Lord, you call us your children. We are made in your family. We're put there by your adoption of us. You tell us what to do. You correct us. You discipline us as a good father does children here on earth. And Lord, because of that, we hope that we will be honorable children. I pray, Lord, we would have in our society, honorable children. I pray for our children here today that they would be honorable, obedient, and useful for your glory in this world. And that, Lord, we would all, by the proclamation of the gospel, call the rebellious ones back from rebellion to obedience to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So take a hymn book again. Stand number 3. 397, God Give Us Christian Homes. God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought, homes round with beauty Thy love hath wrought. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes, homes where the Father is true and strong, homes that are free from the right of wrong, homes that pollute us with love and song. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother in queenly place strives to show others Thy way is best. Homes where God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty, who loves them so. Give us Christ.